As you just heard, both of these readings have to do with faith. The first one, obviously, because now that we started chapter 11 of the letter to the Hebrews, which is a treatise on faith. And then, the last line of the gospel, you know, where's your faith? I mean, I'm with you. The boat is rocking, you know. Do you not yet have faith? Now, what is faith? There's a description given here, and it challenges every translator because of the abundance of the meanings that are in the words. It says here, faith, see, is the hypostasis, ton elpizomenon. It's the stuff of what we hope for. And it is also gives evidence of things not seen. Now to whom does it give evidence? Only those who accept it. In other words, all our life, and that's why he compliments all these people, all our life, we're basing ourselves on something we can't see. You don't have a contract from God, signed God. You know, Jesus Christ is the living, eternal Son of God. He's risen from the dead. He's going to be present here on our altar. We know that, but we know it by faith. You see, it's the hypostasis, it's the very stuff of what we hope for, but we don't control it. Now for us, this is a great trial because in our technological world, which has been a building for a few centuries now, knowledge is control. Von Balthasar has this phrase, knowledge is domination. Therefore, people don't know God because he's the ultimate non-dominatable. That's our challenge. And it's big in our day. You see? That if I'm going to, I build a bridge and I say it's safe, are you sure? Nobody's going to ride on that bridge until it's sure. But what we hold by the will of God, by the word of God, is much surer. But it's at another level. So faith is something we yield to. And that we yield to it is a grace from God. We don't make up our mind to believe. We make up our mind to yield to the work of God. Only God can create faith in us. You see? And so it is this, you see, it's the very stuff. Earlier on, in chapter 10, it says, the law, having the skia, the shadow, the sketch of the good things to come, but not the very icon of the realities. Now, what's he saying? The law, you see, was a sketch. And look how faithful these people were. Abraham, willing to sacrifice his son on the word of God. After God had promised, there's the answer to all your prayers. God says, and I'll offer him up in sacrifice. Not only is, and the text is very, 22, Genesis, is so poignant, you know. It says, you know, first, God decided to put Abraham to the test. So we know it. But Abraham doesn't. So we know it's going to have a happy ending, but Abraham doesn't. And so he says, Abraham, Abraham. And he says, Hineni, behold me. I'm here. Whatever you want. And I remember I was in a class up at Hebrew University, a lovely old rabbi. And he was a course on Rashi. Rashi's one of the great medieval Jewish commentators. Rashi, commenting on that line, you know, Hineni, Lord, he said, it is a sign of a righteous man that he agrees with God even before he knows what he wants. We don't do that, right? It's not in my contract, you know. He agrees with God before he even knows what he wants. Hineni. And then it turns out, take your son, your beloved, Yachid, only one, your beloved, and go and sacrifice him. And as the Hebrews points out, that's the only guarantee he had of God's promise. And so, as the text says, you see, he received the promises. He reasoned that God was able to raise even from the dead. And he received Isaac back, not passing through death, as a symbol. It's more than a symbol. See, Jesus did pass through death and did rise from the dead. And Isaac is a sign of that. So, you see, the fight in us is to yield to the truth we know. We don't do that. Sunday's gospel a few weeks from now, I was getting it ready on my website. Don't worry. Worry is our middle name. You see the fight in us to yield. I've said this before. If a guy came through that door there and said, anybody who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, line up against the wall. He's got a machine gun. Well, you'd go, I mean, of the options, and you just hope he shoots straight. I mean, like, but what about if nobody does come through the door? Then where is our faith? Do we live by faith? The realities, we'll agree to them all. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. But where is our head? Where are our emotions? Where is our attention all day? Do we believe? You know, Elizabeth pronounced the first blessing on Mary. Blessed is she who believed that what was said to her would take place. What does she have to go on? An angel who said, you know, she went right from there, so there would be no stirring in her womb yet. She could have said, I was out of my mind. You know, this angel, I mean, where is he now? You know, I'm going to be pregnant like this without any male, and I'm going to give birth to the king of Israel? I mean, must have been something I ate. Do you see what faith is? Now, how do we... I don't have to worry as much today, but I do have to quit. But how do we preserve faith? Pray. Tell the Lord you believe. Practice. If you're going to run cross country, how do you do it? You run every day. And I mean like 2.5-3 miles. You run. I used to run cross country, that's how I know. You've got to run. Well, if you want to believe, you just can't pull it out on state occasions. So you watch your mind all day. Where is my mind? It's worrying about this, worrying about that, planning this, planning that. Where's God? You know, in this same letter to chapter 11, I forgot whether we're going to get there or not. We still have more of this. No, they're going to end up. Moses went on as though he saw the invisible. That's faith. You know, to have that awareness. Because faith is the very stuff, huh? That text in Hebrews 10, first line. You see, the law had the skia, and they believed. And they obeyed, not everybody. a bunch of idolaters. And they built the temple. You see? A sketch. Not the very icon of the realities. We have the very icon of the realities. An icon is the reality existing, but not in the form that's usual to it. That's an icon. See these icons? That's Joseph and Jesus. Well, it's not Joseph and Jesus. It's a portrayal. But if you pray in front of that icon, your prayer will go right through that to Joseph and Jesus. That's what icons are. And so, we live, we have the ikon, ton pragmaton. We have the very icon of the realities themselves. One of the greatest icons we've got is right here. We have our Lord Jesus Christ in all His majesty and glory, fixed in the act of love in which He died, which radiates through His wounds, and He's surrounded by angels and saints, and they're all, it's all here. But in icon. This is not the mode, bread and wine is not the mode of existence proper to the risen Lord of glory. He does it out of love for us. Faith, my brothers and sisters. You pray and you study. You've got to get your mind wrapped around this stuff. And so, you've got to take care of your mind. That's work. Sit down and read the newspaper. You know, turn on the TV. No. Take care of your mind. Remind yourself. Because a guy may not walk through that door, you know, and challenge us. Study. Take hold of the Word of God. Read it. Let it form your mind. Give your faith soil where it can sink its roots and grow, even though it's faith. And we can live, if our faith gets strong enough, like Moses, as though seeing the invisible.